Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
I really was trying to figure out what God would have me share this morning. And I shared this in the Dominican Republic in a slightly different format. And it was interesting how God used it. But as I was kind of restudying the information, God brought out a whole nother arena. How many of you know that God's word is alive? And as you study it and as you read it, it unfolds. And you might have read something 100 times. You might have read it 1,000 times. And then God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will prick your heart. And all of a sudden, there is a nuance. There's something new that you didn't see before that God reveals to you. That is why it's never a dead book. That's why you can't read it once and say, okay, I got all there is. Because God continues to unfold. One of the things that I kind of got in the beginning of studying this out was the fact that this whole thing of the prodigal son ranges around birthrights and things like that. What was the birthright in Jewish tradition? Well, if you were a Hebrew young man, you had a birthright. And depending on where you were in the family order, you either got one portion or two portions. If you were the firstborn son, you got extra privileges. One of those privileges is that you were consecrated to God. In fact, they had to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice to consecrate you to God. If it was the first sheep, it had to be offered to the God. There were many things and rules around this, but if you were a firstborn, your birthright would be consecrated to God. There also was a special inheritance if you were the firstborn. It was very interesting to see that the firstborn got a double portion. And if you don't know anything about that, you think, well, man, that's not fair. That, you know, why in the world just because he got born first? Well, along with that double portion came a number of other things. One, legal authority. You became the patriarch of the family. But also along with that came responsibility. You were to take care of the aged parents. You were to take care of any of the family members that were not able to take care of things. You were tasked with being the provider for anybody in your family that was not able to provide. And so that double portion was set up so that you would have a way to do that. With that as a background, we get a little bit of a picture of what it was like in Hebrew community life. In the time of Jesus, what did it look like? These pictures are actually from Nazareth, and it's from a community that does a reenactment. What was it like in the times of Jesus? Things were very manual. People worked together. You didn't live on your own. You lived in a community, and that was for a number of reasons. One, safety. If you are out by yourself, it was very easy for thieves to come and take advantage of you. And so family compounds were a thing. And you would live on that family compound and be part of a large community. Along with that, you did things together. Your families were intertwined, and there was a kind of a tribal elder system that kind of governed that community. It was very, very important. In fact, if it was so important that in a number of places of the Bible, it talks about the power of those communities. You could take your son to that community if he was so rebellious, and they would actually stone your son if he was that rebellious. They could pass judgment on your family. There were many things about this community that were very different. So understanding that, it was important for you to understand that that was the context of the prodigal son. Luke 15 tells us a story. The Bible talks about a family, a man with two sons. I don't know why the woman was not mentioned. I don't assume that she wasn't important. Maybe she was not alive anymore. But one of the sons had this great desire to be free. Have you heard that before from your kids? I don't want to live under this community. I don't want to live in this home. I want you to give me my inheritance. And I want you to divide it up after a few days. after arguing with his father, the father took the inheritance, acquiesced to the son's choices, and gave him his inheritance. And according to the Bible, the young man took off and went to a far away country. His purpose was to live however he wanted to, and that was partying, and that was living in a reckless lifestyle. It says in Luke 15, 13, he wasted everything in this wild lifestyle. We don't know how much inheritance he had, but given the fact that he was able to throw a large party, his father afterwards, given the fact of the time frame and so on, he had a substantial amount of money. And for some reason, no relationship with a father. The Bible talks about this man's actions, the riotous living, the craziness that he went through. But the part that's most interesting is that he was willing to give it all up on things that didn't matter. It didn't take long for him to burn through the money that he had. It didn't take long for him to use everything that he had. And those friends that he had abandoned him pretty quickly. And the only thing that was left for him was a job. Feeding pigs. And in the end, he got so hungry that he would eat what the pigs had. You know, it's interesting when we walk away from family, and especially if we walk away from a godly family, it's interesting to where that leads. I think most people go through a time where maybe they are separated for a while from their family, or maybe they turn their back on their family for a little bit. I know common in the 20s, people kind of leave for a while. But the reality is this, most people, according to the Bible, if you've trained up a child in the way they go, at some point in time, there's this reality point. There's this time when they begin to say, you know what? That's not all it was cracked up to be. The fun living, the craziness, all of that stuff, that's just not quite as much as what I thought. And it leads to a place that you don't want to go. It's interesting that his friends that he had bought with alcohol, parties, drugs, whatever else, abandoned him as soon as the money was out. And he sat there in this place of feeding pigs in absolute misery. And he thought, in my father's house, even the servants eat better than I'm eating. In my father's house, even the people that have nothing, the lowest of the lowest, they're taken care of. There's a roof overhead. There's food. But he also knew something about Jewish law, the community law. And that was keza. You see, the keza was a community thing that was very important. It basically came out of the Talmud. And if you want to know the actual location in the Talmud, that's where it is. I haven't studied the Talmud, but I did look up where this was. And it says this, if you turn your back on your family, if you embarrass them, if you do things that are shameful, that the community will cut you off. The community will actually send you away and you can no longer be part of the community. You are cast out. You're sent away. This young man, having been part of a large community, understood and knew what was going on in all of that. He realized that, yes, this community thing was real. And that explains his next comments. First of all, understanding a little bit more about that, going back to his hometown would mean that he would stand under judgment of the tribal elders. They would take him. His father would not, His father would not be able to attend that meeting, even if he was one of the elders. The only one that would be able to in any way stand up for him would be his mother. So knowing all this, our prodigal returns, afraid of being cut off from the rest of the village. Now, cutting off was an interesting thing. They would have him, they would lay out the claims against him, and then they would take a pot. And that pot they would take, they would throw it at his feet, and it would be broken into many pieces, and it symbolized the final cutoff. There could be no restoration. The pieces were too shattered. It was gone and done forever. He knew, I'm going to face Keza. So the next thing he did was rationalized in his mind. And this is how Luke 15:11 begins to make sense. Rather than saying, I'm going to go to my father and he'll take me back. I'm going to go to my father and he's going to be so happy to see me. He said this, I'll go at once to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. Make me one of your hired men. As a hired man, he could be a foreigner. As a hired man, he could be a slave. As a hired man, he could get the food and the shelter that he wanted. Never did he ever dream I could be a son again. You can imagine that trip home. It was a faraway country. He had no money. He had no food. It was a horrific, miserable trip. The Bible doesn't describe it, but you could imagine it in your mind, and every Jewish person could imagine the types of roads and the types of country that he would have to travel through. His hope was to get to his father and become a hired servant, knowing that Keza would happen. There was only one thing that was actually more powerful than Keza in a community. You see, if there were the Jewish elders, they controlled the entire village, but one thing did trump that. One thing. And that was if the father got to the prodigal first, restored him, showed his love for him, accepted him back in, that actually trumped the law of Keza. The elders and the father knew he was coming. The elders were ready. He would have to come up to the edge of his city, his little community there. He'd have to come up to that location. But the father was watching. He was watching for his son. And he did something that was very indignant, very unnatural. He ran to his son to beat out the law, the Keza. He ran so that he would be the first one. And by being the first one, that tribal law, that breaking off, that separation would be overpowered by his love. The love of the Father. It involved approval. It involved restoration. It involved blessing. But most of all, it took away the condemnation of the law. Now, think about that for just a second. Think about Keza. What is it? If you create or do sin, if you act shamefully, if you do something that's wrong, Keza takes place. Interestingly enough, we are all born into this place of Keza, this separation, the moment we commit our first sin. According to the Bible, not one person has God's approval because all people have sinned. They have all fallen short of God's glory. Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. Colossians 1:21 says this, "Once you were separated from God, the evil things you did showed your hostile attitude." Separation from God. Keza. It might have frozen. Can you advance the slide for me? Isaiah 59:2, "But your sinful acts have alienated you from your God. Your sins have caused him to reject you and not to listen to your prayers." Isaiah 59:2. The reality is that sin separates us from God. God is perfect in every way. Absolute perfection, and he is not able to tolerate any sin at all. It's not a question of, is my good better than my bad? It's not a question of, if I do this, can I earn it? It's a question of, God's standard is absolute perfection. And my standard is not. No matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, I will fail, I have failed, and that creates the separation of sin. Next slide, please. Ezekiel 18:4, "The life of every person belongs to me. Fathers and their children belong to me. The person who sins will die." The reality is that there is a death sentence, a cutting off that is the exact result of sin. Next slide. Romans 6:23, though, is where the Father runs. Yes, we have had Keza. Yes, we are separated. We can't be part of the family. We can't be part of the community. But according to Romans 6:23, the payment for our sin is death. But the gift of God, the one he freely gives us, is everlasting life found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Next slide. According to the law of Keza, you have been cut off. Hit the play on the video. The pot has been dropped. It's irreparable. But according to God's love, somebody was willing to take your place. Next slide. God loved the world, John 3:16. So much that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You see, God doesn't accept our sin. He separates the sin from us. The law of Keza is still there. It's against sin. It's against the bad reaction. It's against all of the things that we've done that don't meet God's standard, but the love of God, the Father running, provided an escape. Somebody would take that separation. Somebody would take that isolation. Somebody would take all of that suffering. The wages of sin is death in our place. Next slide. How do you get this? How do you accept this? How do you make use of this? And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed and so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence. What did the prodigal have to do? He had to go back to the Father. What do we have to do? Well, we go to the Father. How do we do that? Through Jesus Christ, his Son. Next slide. Jesus Christ took our pain and suffering. Isaiah 53:3, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our sin was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. He took it all, the beatings, the suffering, the pain, the sorrow, everything that was due to us, everything that would be a part of Keza, the separation, all of it. He took all of it. Why? Well, the Bible talks about a book. The books were opened, and another book was opened. And those books were the record of our actions and deeds. Every sin that we had committed would be written in the book. But there was another book, the book of life. And if we would be willing to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we would be willing to turn our back on sin and turn to God, if we would be willing to give up the life of our old and turn to be a follower of Him, if we were willing to do that, then He would take and wipe out every one of those sins with His shed blood that paid for the wrath, the condemnation, the rejection, every bit of that. He would take all of that that Jesus did on our account. And all those sins would be wiped away. He would forget them forever. And then your name would be written in the book of life, sealed for eternity. Every one of us face Keza. We start out there, separated from God. Every one of us face condemnation for our sins. The wages of sin is death. Every one of us commits sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us live in a life apart from God until we turn our back and run to the Father. And we do that by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Romans 10:9 gives us the how-to. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that He is raised from the dead, you will be saved. Now, it's not a once and done. This isn't a magic bullet that you shoot or something that you take once. It is the beginning of a lifelong relationship. What was the son? Part of the family, part of the community, in union with his father. And you see, that's what Jesus calls us to be part of his family, to be in communion with the father, to be with other believers. So it's the beginning of a relationship. But that relationship ensures that Keza only goes on Jesus. You remember on the cross, one of Jesus' last words was, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was Keza, cut off. Now, the beautiful thing is that Jesus didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. At that point, and from that point on, anybody that had died in the past that believed through faith in God, and everybody who would accept him as their Savior in the future, all would then have the right to be called the sons of God and live in heaven with God. Amazing and powerful. Now we come to the point of you. You say, well, I'm not off living in sin, and that's great. I'm excited if you're not. But if you're separated from God and you say, man, I kind of walked away, understand this. Jesus has provided every means of return. And God the Father is running towards you full tilt saying, son, daughter, I want you back. I want you back. I want you to be with me. I want this relationship. I want to walk you through this. I want to bless you. I want to provide for you. I want to comfort you. I want to protect you. I want all of this for you. But you're going to have to turn your back. You can't stay with the pigs. I'll help you out of that. But you got to turn your back and you got to start coming towards me. And if you don't know him, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are fully separated. You are fully cut off. God still loves you, tremendously loves you. But there is a sentence of separation and death that is hanging over your head. And that sentence, if you don't do something, if you don't ally align with the one who breaks the law of Keza, you'll face judgment and you'll face a location that was never even made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels. But you end up there by default. I want to take just a second, and I'd like you to close your eyes for a moment. Kylan, would you come up for just a second? I can't believe that in a room this size that there might not be somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you've heard about him, but honestly, there's no relationship. Maybe you've thought about him, but honestly, there's nothing there. You never come to him and said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Confess with your mouth. Jesus, I believe in you. I know you rose from the dead. I know that you died to save me. I accept your free gift. Believe in your heart. If you're here and that's your condition, we're going to have prayer teams in a minute. And I highly encourage you to get up and talk to somebody on the prayer team. Let us show you from God's word how you can solve this once and for all. Break the law of Keza. And if you're here and you say, you know what, I kind of took off and went the wrong way. Yeah, I used to be kind of in the family, and I don't know, things just got in the way and I started going off on my own, and I don't know, I'm just separated from God right now. Understand this, if you knew him, you can't lose him. But you may walk away from him and not feel him and not sense his presence and be miserable. And he says, look, I'm running to you. I want you back. I want that relationship with you so much. I am willing to be undignified. I'm willing to run. Something that in history and tradition was a terrible thing for an elder to do. I'm willing to do all of that to have you back. We're going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss. There are prophetic teams. There will be prayer teams. But I'd like you to think about, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you took the law of Keza for us. You were separated from the Father, the one who had perfect relationship. You took the pain and the suffering that was the wages of sin, the punishment, even God's anger against it. You took all of that so that when we follow you, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, even to the called according to the Spirit. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that if there is one here that just says, you know, things have gotten in the way. I'm cold. I've walked away. Maybe I wasn't out drinking and partying all the time, but certainly I have not had any relationship with the Lord. I've just kind of walked away. God wants you back. He wants you back. He wants you back. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you could repeat this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know that what I have done, because I have sinned, I'm separated from you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose again for me. Please forgive me for my sins. Please take away that sin. Here is my life. I believe in you. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart, you are born again. If you prayed that, you need to come and talk with somebody and let them know. So important. People can gather around you and help you back in that community. And if you're here and you're just struggling and you want somebody to talk with you and pray with you about coming back, kind of restoring that relationship, come to the prayer team. And they'll help you walk through that. I'm going to close in a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for what you do for us. I thank you that the law is broken for those who receive you. I thank you for the Father's great love that sent you. I thank you for your willingness to take it all for us. I ask that you be with each person here. Give courage to those who need it to let somebody know. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.